This is an interview with Eileen Homer-Flemenick at her home on May 20th, 2019, as part of the You Now and Then project.
I'm Eileen Homer-Flemenick, and I'm the interviewee.
I'm Carolyn Jones, and I'm the interviewer. Eileen, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me today. I really appreciate it. I wonder if we could start with just a little bit about Princeton and how you came to be living in Princeton.
Oh, well, I was married to Art Holmuth at the time, and he took a job teaching at the time, Trenton State College. And the reason he took that job was because we had, when he was in grad school in Delaware, we ended up with a little boy who lived in welfare housing behind us, and we had to move the closest we could get to Delaware so that he could come on the weekends. And then a year later, we adopted him. I was basically 21 years old when I adopted an 11-year-old.
Wow.
So that's how I ended up in Princeton. Mm-hmm. And I got a job. First, I was teaching in... You really want to know all this?
Yes.
All right. First, I was teaching in Pennsylvania, right in Lambertville, New Jersey, right out along the Delaware River. And then I got a job in Princeton and moved here, and then I had Ben. I was pregnant, I guess. No, I moved here first, and I used to live in the black neighborhood in Princeton, the Witherspoon mm-hmm. neighborhood.
And what year was this?
Oh, God.
Roughly. Well, when was Ben born?
1972, I think.
Okay. So do you think it was
69, maybe?
69. And you said you were a teacher. What were you teaching?
I taught art at South Huntington Regional High School first, mm-hmm. and then I became an art lower and middle school art teacher at Princeton Day School, mm-hmm. and then years later became a photography instructor in the high school.
Okay. And so you moved to Princeton in 1969, 70, mm-hmm. around about there. What was it like at the time? What do you remember about what this town was?
There was a
like?
Lot going on, and there was a lot of radical stuff. I remember... Angela Davis coming and speaking, and Huey Newton, and all that kind of stuff. It was a very heady time, and I hung out with a lot of university students and stuff. It was fun. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. And so, as you know, You Now was founded by members of the Central New Jersey Now chapter. Uh-huh. Were you aware of Now as an organization?
I was, but... maybe two things. One is maybe they might have been a little too conservative for me at the time. I was out of my mind. And another thing was it was a generation of women who were older than me. Mm. I was just enough younger that I didn't feel and they were all very accomplished, and mm-hmm. I felt threatened by them, mm-hmm. I guess. But I knew who they all were, and I admired them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And... so you had an older son, and then Ben was born.
Yeah.
And you enrolled him in You Now in what year would he have been there, 1972?
When he turned two.
Okay.
That's the youngest class that was there,
right.
Two-year-old class.
Right. And so what did you do for childcare before you could enroll him?
See, these are the times. I kept him in my classroom for a long time. You really want to know?
Yes. I would love to know about that.
At that time, my husband was teaching college, and so he could stay home in the morning, and then he would drop the baby off at work, and then I would I would keep him in my classroom. But I stayed up with him all night to keep him awake so that he would sleep during the day, and I had a crib in my classroom, but I used to keep him in a cardboard box because the little kids all wanted to see him all the time, and they'd wake him up, so they wouldn't know he was there, and then suddenly they would say, he'd start crying, and like, where is he, where is he? So that's how it started, and then this old maintenance guy at PDS, I taught in a huge loft, made an enormous playpen for me, like the size of this kitchen. when he got older, and we just like filled it with toys, and he loved working in there because there were kids all around him mm-hmm. doing stuff.
That sounds so charming. Was it
so 60s, 70s?
Were other teachers doing the same thing?
No, I was the first.
Oh. And was everyone universally welcoming of that form of childcare?
No. No. This is a time when men, I remember once nursing the baby in the lunchroom and I had a shawl over me and some man complained about it. I mean, it was a very different time.
Right.
But I think they always expect artists to be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only for a few hours.
Right.
So but it was always a huge hassle. And, you know, when he got sick and what have you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had graduate students who would stay with him sometimes.
But so keeping him up all night so he would sleep during
yeah.
the day, you must have been exhausted.
Of course.
How did you do your job on being so sleep deprived?
I don't know. I just did it. I didn't want to be away from my child. That's
right.
really what it was. And it was insane. And then 16 years later, I had a daughter. And that was a little different.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to come back to that
sure.
if we can. What's your daughter's name?
Hannah.
So was it always your plan to enroll him in nursery school as soon as he was old enough?
Yeah, but we didn't call nursery school.
Oh.
Daycare
okay.
was the feminist term.
Okay. Oh, and can you explain that to me? Why is that the feminist term?
I think nursery schools, there was actually one next to you now. They were like for mothers who wanted to have a few hours of free time, really. And so they dropped it. They would go like for the morning or something, you know, just for a few hours. Daycare meant it was for working parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
And so daycare was always your plan as soon as Ben
yeah.
aged into it.
Yeah.
And were you unusual amongst your peers for trying to find, for planning to send your child to daycare?
There were people who didn't approve. But the people who sent their kids to you now were all really wonderful, interesting people.
How did you know people didn't approve?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? They would say, I mean, this is the times. I remember once in my school, this teacher confronting me because I was wearing pants and work boots, and she said, "Why don't you want to be a woman?" Those are the times.
Wow.
That tells you plenty, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It really does. Okay, so going back to you now, was it always your plan to enroll him in you now, or were you just saying, as soon as he's old enough, I'll find somewhere for
oh,
him?
Oh, no, because I knew it was a form founded by feminists, and I really... You know, at that time, I swear it's like this again now somewhat, but there used to be very gender-identified toys, and girls only had dolls, and boys only had trucks, and I was really into raising a child who did better than that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so how had you heard about you now, that because they had this sort of non-sex stereotyping program, how had you... learned about that?
I was always very active in feminist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember. I always knew about now, and I went to a few now meetings. I just always knew what was going on. And when I heard they were doing that,
right.
I was like, well, that's where I'm going to send him,
right.
if I can.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so he got in at the age of two, and
mm-hmm.
he was there throughout until he went to kindergarten, is that right?
He stayed there in kindergarten because... The teacher who taught kindergarten, I can say this because she's not alive anymore, at PDS, I was afraid of her. And he was incredibly shy, and I was worried that he would be traumatized to go there. So he could have gone to PDS for free. I paid for another year of you now just because it was such a nurturing place.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the environment of you now? You say it was nurturing. Are there other sort of strong memories you have about it?
I don't know. Just always felt, you know, very comfortable walking in there. The teachers and the parents were friends. I went out to Conti's Pizza with them a lot on Friday nights, you know. It was just a good place. And there was a lot of free play. I loved that. In the back there, kids would be out there, you know, in these days you could never do that, in their underpants, you know, digging in the sand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you'd come in the afternoon to pick them up, and they'd all be dirty and happy, and it was a great thing.
Right, right. What do you remember about the building itself?
It wasn't very attractive. It was sort of... I remember standing outside the building the first week that Ben was in the 2-year-old class, and I left and he was crying and crying, And I stood in these weeds and watched forever, and it turned out to be poison ivy, and I got the worst case of poison ivy. But one of the teachers was so great, I don't even know which one it was, but she said to me, you know, this has more to do with transitions, and he cries when you drop him off, but doesn't he also cry when he's leaving? And I said, oh, yeah, he does, you know. Mm. He just didn't like the change.
Mm, mm.
So they were always very encouraging and smart.
Right.
And the teachers were well-educated. They were interesting people. They weren't like nursery school teachers. Mm-hmm. They came from all kinds of walks of life, and, yeah, they were very cool.
Mm-hmm. And what do you remember about how the classes were organized? Was there a fixed structure, or...?
Oh, my goodness. It's so long ago. I know there was a fixed structure, but I couldn't tell you what
right.
it was.
Right. But it was not something. And do you remember anything about how decisions were made? I think there was a board, and there were some parents were on.
Yeah, parents were on the board. Marlene Lockheed was on the board. Mm-hmm. You should ask her. Mm-hmm. She'll remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then 16 years later, mm-hmm. you had a daughter.
I did. Yeah.
And tell me about you. You hoped to enroll her at UNOW.
Yes, but there was no opening, and mm-hmm. so I enrolled her somewhere else. And then later on, they said they could take her, but it was too late.
Right.
She's
right.
now a grad student at Princeton.
Oh, she is? Wow.
Yep.
Wonderful. And so you shared with me some beautiful photos that you took at mm-hmm. the time of your son,
mm-hmm.
and I wondered if I could ask you a little bit about them, what you remember. And perhaps I could ask you to, first of all, to describe the picture and then tell me anything you can remember about that or what it makes you think of.
It's my son at the end of the day, and he's coming to the car where I'm sitting, and I'm picking him up. And he's got his hoodie sweatshirt on his head, and he's basically wearing an undershirt and some dirty pants, and his hair is very long, as boys' hair was back at that time. And he was very happy. He loved being in the outdoors, and they would build these... They take sand and make like they'd run water, you know, and make rivers and mm-hmm. stuff. I don't know. He just liked all that, and he loved nature, and he loved like collecting bugs and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. And the look on his face is one of absolute triumph. But I think that's what I love most
yeah.
about this picture.
He had a great day.
I also love these cars in the background.
Oh, how funny!
Did you drive a car like that?
I had a VW Bug.
Oh, of course. What color was it?
Yellow.
And so tell me, why are you sitting in the car and he's coming towards
yeah.
you? Did he let himself out of school, or how?
He couldn't have.
How did this happen that he's coming?
That I can't tell
after
you.
Maybe I
went in and got it. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm not in the car. Maybe I'm just talking to another parent.
Right.
I really don't know.
Right.
But
and
yeah.
so you're a professional photographer and you teach photography.
Yes,
I
do.
Is this something that you would always, did you always have a camera with
this
you?
This is before I was a professional photographer.
Okay.
I was an art teacher.
Okay. And so what inspired you to take this picture?
I don't know. I guess I was starting to get interested in, I know what it was. The mm-hmm. teacher at PDS, the photography teacher, offered a course. And so I signed up for this photography class. I had taken it in art school, but
mm-hmm.
And so I was probably taking that class at the time. So I had a camera with me all
wow.
the time.
Wow!
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful picture, and it's
funny.
It's beautiful. And here's another beautiful picture that you shared with us. And I wonder if you could describe that one.
Well, that's Ben and Austin, and they're both filthy dirty, and they have their shirts off,
mm-hmm.
which was common. And nobody thought about, like, sexual abuse back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they both had longish kind of hair. And they're at, I believe this is taken at the Philadelphia Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of parents went and a bunch of teachers. And we just spent the day there.
Mm-hmm. And so they've got some tags around their necks.
Yeah.
Which identify where they come from.
Right, right.
Was this the sort of when you're on a field trip? This
yeah,
is what
they
would
wear those things.
So if they got lost, returned to
exactly,
university now,
exactly.
to the nursery.
Right.
Do you remember field trips being a common thing?
No.
Okay.
No, not really.
Right.
It was rare.
Right.
That, at least that's what I remember. I could be wrong.
Right, right. Yeah, I love this picture. I've put the tags around the neck. I think it's very charming. Just thinking about childcare in general, you waited until Ben was old enough so that you could enroll him, and then you went back to work full time.
I was still at work
full time.
Yeah.
What, thinking now from a 49 years perspective, what did full-time childcare mean for you at that time?
Oh, my God. I don't know how I would have managed otherwise. And, you know, I had friends who had kids who were with, like, some person who was taking care of them, but you never really knew what was going on in the house. Mm-hmm. You now, I knew that they were really teaching, and there were men teaching as well as women. It was just so different. And if the kid got sick, or if the teacher got sick, there would always be somebody else who could take over. If your child care provider got sick, like some of my friends, they had to take the day off from work. Mm-hmm. It was much harder.
Right.
But mainly, you know, and some of them, they would discover the kids had been plunked in front of the TV, whereas you now always was teaching, always.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what they taught, but they taught
right.
all the time.
Right, well, your son turned out well, so it must
so
have been
Austin.
Something. Yes.
They all did. Yeah.
So we, next year, will be celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
If you could zoom forward 50 years, mm-hmm. another 50 years, what would you like to see you now to have accomplished or to have focused on in the next 50 years of its existence?
I think what they've done, what they did then, they should continue to do. I mean, they've always thought about gender roles. They've always thought about learning. Gosh, it's so long ago, but I would want the same thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe more free play than probably there is these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kids were very creative back then.
Right.
You know, you'd come in and one of them would have used a magic marker and it colored on the other one or something, you know. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But the kids were happy and they were challenged.
Right.
That's really all.
Yeah. Yeah. Important. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
For agreeing to speak to me. This is now the end of the interview. Thank you.
You're very welcome.